to consider this topic. In Asia, we come from a background where we encounter most of the major religions of the world: Muslim, Buddhism, and Hinduism, and also at that time, before I came to know Jesus, Christianity, which I thought at that time was just one of the great religions of the world, besides all the smaller offshoots from these main religions of the world. What is the difference between all these religions? Well, the origin of the Muslim religion and faith started when a person by the name of Muhammad. Now, as we talk about all the different comparative religions very briefly before we look at the uniqueness of Jesus, we speak about all these religions with great respect, right? In no way do we run down any religion, because in my opinion, every religion is an attempt of man to be good, to try to do something that is right, to obey the moral codes as much as they can see how to obey it. And I would generalize all religions as an expression of man towards the Ten Commandments in their own way. Well, the history of the Muslim religion is that there was a man named Muhammad, and apparently somewhere out in the Middle East, he has this encounter with an angel who supposedly revealed some scriptures to him. But the history of Muhammadism is that he has some previous exposure to the Jewish faith, as well as to Christianity. That is why a lot of his understanding later became a derivation of what the scriptures were. And basically, in summary, it ends up with the revelation of the five pillars, all the different things that a Muslim must follow. And among the five is the compulsory trip to Mecca, which forms part of their faith or belief system. And if they keep all these five, they stand a better chance to get into heaven. There is no guarantee that you will get to heaven even if you're a good Muslim. In the end, it still depends on God weighing your good deeds and your bad deeds. And if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then in the Muslim religion, you get to go to heaven. And the heaven that they conceive of is not exactly what we see of heaven, because it is quite a human-like heaven with human pleasures involved. But if you ask any Muslim, no matter how good a Muslim they are, there is no assurance of salvation. The understanding of the Muslim religion is that you must follow these five pillars of Islam, and if you do well, you stand a greater chance of getting into heaven. And Buddhism is an offshoot basically from this guy called Gautama Buddha. He was actually a very rich young prince somewhere in India. And being of great wealth, his father, the king, made sure that from the time he was born until possibly when he was a young adult, that he never saw death, decay, or suffering. So imagine growing up in a rich palace where you got hundreds of servants, and everywhere you go, all you see is the best of the world. You never see people suffer, cry. You never see a dead leaf. And the servants will go ahead and remove everything that can be of decay. It is like an artificial heaven. And when he was a young adult, he happened to wander off by himself, and he encountered suffering and death. He saw it. And because he has never seen it throughout his whole life, it struck him and made a big impression on him. He wondered why suffering must be there and death must be there. And that took all the pleasure out of his life. he could never again enjoy the pleasures of palace life. And it drove him out to seek for whatever truth he can find. So the roots of Buddhism, which in the end is expressed by the eight paths, is an attempt to harmonize the disharmony that man feels. To see the suffering outside and death outside and the impossibility of enjoying this life. And it's an attempt to try to harmonize all the turmoil and the sufferings and the evil of this world and the internal suffering which is greater than the external. And in the end, apparently, Gautama Buddha was meditating one day and he found what you call Nirvana, which is a state of peace, or so-called a state of consciousness. And I studied comparative religion in the seminary, and what they actually enter in, the correct description is a state of consciousness. So in Buddhism, the attempt through the eight paths is to enter a state of consciousness where you don't suffer anymore. And it's a state of harmony with the so-called universe. And that's the essence of Buddhism. Hinduism has millions of gods. And in the Sanskrit and the Vedic scriptures, the attempt of Buddhism is there is a basic belief that mankind and human soul is in a metamorphosis process, which is where reincarnation all comes about. And that you will keep on having a metamorphosis. In the end, there is an understated belief that you would graduate to be one of the millions of gods, or to be quote-unquote godlike. And so in a sense, to the Hindu, everyone and every human is a potential god, which explains why they have millions of gods. And so that's the root of Hinduism, where there is an attempt to achieve into godlikeness, but in all the various forms, and partly also through metamorphosis process, through many reincarnations and many lives. And there's a mixture, the doctrine of reincarnation, which is not scriptural, because in Hebrews 9 verse 26, it says, appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment. How do we explain phenomena of people who claim to have past lives? Don't forget, they are demon powers and familiar spirits. Now, the word familiar spirits talk about spirits who are familiar with the human lives, and thus they can imitate and have knowledge about what goes on in another life and somehow pass it on through to a new human being who in the natural have no knowledge. Reincarnation in the end was absorbed as a doctrine into Buddhism and Hinduism. Then there are all the other offshoots like Taoism, Animism, and Guru Nanak and a few others, which are mainly offshoots of Buddhism and Hinduism, and also what you call Spiritism, which is worship of spirits. And if you go to a jungle tribe somewhere who has no human contact, most of the time, the official belief of a tribal area who has no human contact is Spiritism. The belief in spirits that are existing. Animism, they call it. And it's just not a full doctrine of belief, but just a sort of belief in some supernatural spirits and forces. When you consider these people like Muhammad, Buddha, and the religious teachers of the world that are there, the question is asked, what is different about Jesus Christ? What makes him different? And I'll just share five little points to show that why Jesus is different. Perhaps some of us who are brought up in a Western culture of time have never encountered all the great religions of the world, people who have been soaked in it throughout their entire lives. But in Asia, you do encounter them, and you need to be able to answer this question. At the moment, I believe in Western civilization, there's an interest in Eastern religion. And so many times Christianity has never been able to answer the questions because probably a lack of experience, a lack of encounter as to what is unique about Jesus. We respect all the great founders of religion. We believe that they are trying to teach men the moral codes to be a better person. But there's something about Jesus Christ that is different. Number one, He is the only, quote-unquote, and remember, I speak from an objective point of view, so my language may sound a bit different from normal preaching. What is different about Jesus Christ, the so-called founder of Christianity, that is different from Gautama Buddha, Muhammad, Guru Nanak, and all the rest? Number one, He is the only one who has claims to a virgin birth. Every other founder of religion was born normally, through the relationship of man and woman. And they are reproduced in a normal way. But Jesus Christ was not produced out of the sexual relationship between a man and woman. He was the product, according to the Bible, of a divine creation of God. Let's consider that for a moment at the Christian doctrine of the virgin birth in Matthew. See, the sad thing about many of Western Christianity is that today, sometimes when you go to a liberal Bible theological school, some of the scholars don't even believe in the virgin birth anymore because they don't believe the Bible. They don't realize how important it is when you encounter someone of a different religion, that these are the basic doctrines that differentiate Christianity from every other religion. So number one, the virgin birth. And in the Gospel of Luke, Luke. We are told here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 onward. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. See, the Bible makes it very clear. She had known no man. So there's twice an emphasis there. And the angel said in verse 28, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, look at verse 34, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" She was engaged to be married to Joseph, and she had known no man. Yet the angel said that a child will be born to you. And the angel said in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." In the Old King James, you notice the word Holy One has been translated as the Holy Thing. You see the word thing there, Holy Thing. That's because in the Greek, it is a neuter word. It is neither a he nor a she. Now the Greek language has masculine and feminine for many nouns. But for that particular word, it used a neuter, that holy thing. So wait a minute, how can you call Jesus a thing?